Okay. Let's get to work over here. Here we go. We'll start off with a few shilas that were sent in. Shy number one, Tuvia, you're here. So Tuvia asked, are you about wearing a watch on Shabbos? Are you allowed to wear a watch? Should you wear a watch on Shabbos? This is a shy that we'll discuss. It is definitely a big tumult. Are you allowed to wear a watch on Shabbos? The reason is perhaps it's an issue of carrying, the same way you just can't like decide to wear whatever you want to carry. So perhaps you can't wear a watch. On the other hand, a watch is for, there's a purpose, there's a use. It's like a shirt, it's like pants, or it's like a necklace, it's like a bracelet. So there is definitely a big discussion about it. If there is an Erev, so then most people are mekel, it's no problem to wear it, fine. If there is no Erev, then it's a little bit trickier. It may depend on each person. That are you the type of person that would wear the watch even if the watch was broken? If you would wear the watch, even if it was broken, so then that shows that to you, the watch is decorative, it's jewelry, it's part of your your apparel, your accessories, so then it would be okay. If you would not wear it, if it would be broken, so then it's definitely worthy to be machmir. You should not wear the watch, okay? So if there's an Erev, you can wear the watch. If there is no Erev, if you would always wear it, even broken, then wear it. If not, I would not. My second question was, what about Scrabble? Are you allowed to play Scrabble on Shabbos? So there are two types of Scrabble games. There's a Scrabble, which is where you click the pieces in. They each have their own little spot. That definitely is worth, you should be machmir, because that may be a real type of writing. Then there's the old-fashioned Scrabble, where it is just loose pieces on the board. So then, inside the actual game, it's fine. There is another issue of keeping score. So you definitely, obviously, you're not allowed to write and keep score. But there are people that are playing that are machmir. You shouldn't play it. If you normally keep score, you shouldn't play it because you may come to write while keeping score. So you have to know yourself. If you're the type that normally writes, so you know it's Shabbos, but still you may come to write. We don't do anything that may tempt us, bring us to writing, even accidentally. So you probably should not play it. If you don't keep score anyway, so then there's no problem playing that Scrabble on Shabbos. Another shot that was asked was glass dishes, glass cups, glass bowls. Are you allowed to use it for hot fleishik and then use it again for hot milchik and vice versa? Meaning metal or pottery, we do not go back and forth between milchik and fleishik. You could trade off the kli. What about glass? So this turns out to be a machlokes Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. And based on what I was told, machlokes Ashkenazi Sfardi. So for our Sfardi brethren tonight, it's no problem to use a bowl for hot soup, hot fleishik, and then use it for hot milchik, because the bowl does not absorb anything. However, for our Ashkenazi brethren, the Ramah says to be machmir and not use a fleishik, not use glass for both milchik and fleishik. And that we hold as more like pottery, that it absorbs and it doesn't let out. And therefore, you should not, if you're Ashkenazi, use the same glass dishes for meat and for milk. And the last shayla was sent in was, all right, someone asked, why is it that we wait 6 hours between fleishik and eating milchik, but we don't wait 6 hours between milchik to fleishik? What's the difference? So there are some cheeses that are called gvina kasha, thick cheeses, hard cheeses, that is brought down to, yes, wait 6 hours. Most of our cheeses are not like that. It's a machlokes, which one's yes, which one's not. More or less, I was told that our kosher cheeses, you don't have an issue with. So pretty much it comes down to today, milchik to fleishik, you don't need to wait. You just wash out. We spoke about last week. But fleishik to milchik, we wait. What's the difference? Why is it like that? So one reason is, or two reasons are, it's machlokes Rashi Rambam. Why is that we wait anyway after fleishik? One reason is because meat, the tendency of meat is to get stuck between your teeth. Rashi learns it's because meat is normally a thicker, fattier type of thing, and the taste lingers in your mouth. And therefore, you would want to wait. That logic is only by meat. Milchik stuff, as a general rule, doesn't get stuck between your teeth, and as a general rule, is not as thick and fatty, and the taste does not linger. And therefore, they never made this takana of waiting. So that's a general explanation of why. Bottom line, the what is, we don't need to wait 6 hours. We do, should need to wash your hands, wash your mouth out with a solid and liquid. Okay, now let's get to the tonight's scheduled program. I just want to discuss tonight halachas of fasting in general, and then halachas of the 3 weeks. Imagine we'll do this in three parts, meaning we'll do 3 weeks, and then next week we'll do 9 days, and then the week after that we'll do halachas of Tisha B'Av. Three different sugyas. So tonight we'll focus on fasting and 3 weeks. Okay, so as far as fasting goes, these halachas are in Shulchan Aruch scattered, starting from Siman Tavkuf Mem Tes through Tavkuf Samach Ches, discusses all different halachas of fasting. First, we'll start off with the reason. What is the reason for fasting? So every day has their own reasons. We'll focus on Shavas V'Tamas. The reason for fasting on Shavas V'Tamas is five different bad things happen on Shavas V'Tamas. One was the luchos were broken. Moshe broke the luchos. Second one was the carbon tamid was stopped. Third was the walls of Yerushalayim were penetrated. And it was during the second Beis HaMikdash that was penetrated on the 17th of Tammuz. During the first Beis HaMikdash, it was the 9th of Tammuz. But since the second one is what we're affected by today, so we go based on the second Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it was penetrated on the 17th of Tammuz. The Sefer Torah was burnt in the Heichal on Shavuos of Tammuz, and they put a Tzelem and Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash on Shavuos of Tammuz, and therefore, these are the five reasons for someone who's just joining in. We're starting now. Five reasons why we fast on Shavuos V'Tamuz. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that you should realize it's a fast day, but it's not only a fast day, meaning it's not a day to go ahead and, okay, it's a day off. Let's go shopping. Let's go on a trip. And we'll also fast. Right? The same way on Tisha B'Av, we understand it's Tisha B'Av. And on Yom Kippur, it's not just fasting. There's an avodah. There's something which we do on Yom Kippur. Also, every fast day, including Shavuos V'Tamuz, is not just to be focused, oh, I'm going to fast, do whatever else I want. It is a day, as he says, to wake up and do tshuva. Because there's a reason why we're fasting, because we still don't have the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash comes back, we're not going to fast anymore. And therefore, the day, besides just fasting, is also supposed to be a day of looking into your actions, figuring out why the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt. It's not necessarily because of the other guy. It's also because of us. And therefore, that's part of the avodah of the day to fix things that could be fixed. Now, that was as far as the reason.
Do those things happen all in the same year?
Those things happen all in the same year?
The Sefer Torah and the Tzelem and the
Wolf? The Luchos not.
Not the Luchos.
The other one, no, because I think Karban Tamid, that was in the back by Rishon. The Hufka Ir was by Sheni. The dates that Sefer Torah and Tzelem, I'm not sure. Okay, now as far as the halachas. So first of all, if you are pregnant or you are nursing, it's machlokas, but we are lenient and we do not fast on the four fasts. On Yom Kippur we fast. On Tisha B'Av it's a big tumult. We'll get to that on Tisha B'Av. But as far as the four fasts, if you are pregnant or nursing, no fasting. It doesn't mean to have barbecues and taunt everyone else that is fasting. Definitely you should not have basar v'yayin if you are pregnant and nursing and fasting and not fasting, but you definitely do not need to fast. Let's say you have a headache, you're uncomfortable, fast. If the headache is severe, so still fast, but you can take a Tylenol. Now there are three ways of taking a Tylenol. One way, which would be the best, is without water, if you can do that. Take Tylenol without water. If you cannot do that, so then you can take a water and make it that's disgusting by adding some sort of spice to it, maybe lemon juice or a very thick tea scents to make that the water is very disgusting. If you can't do that, so then you can be lenient and take a very little bit of water to get the pill down. And that's for Tylenol or any medicine that you need to take. You can do it in that fashion. If the headache is severe, you want to cut your head off, you need to lay down in bed, you're feeling completely weak, and you know then in that case, you could break your fast. But it has to be, it's more than just a regular fasting headache. It's got to be a severe, out of the ordinary, that you're knocked out type of situation. So that is as far as that. Now, on the fast day. So
what about like daily vitamins?
Vitamins I wouldn't take. If your doctor says it's crucial, so then perhaps. But in most cases, vitamins can be taken a little before, a little after. I'm not a doctor. If it's crucial and you will be damaged if you don't, so then do the same thing we just spoke about. But if it's something which could be pushed off, push it off.
Thank you.
No problem, sir. Now, as far as, right, so on a fast day, you should not listen to music. You are allowed to shower. Like this, there is a definitely, like, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are in a league of their own, right? There's no Rechitza, Tashrish Shemitah, all these things are usher on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. But on the other four fast days, you are allowed to do these things. You are allowed to shower. The Mishnah Berurah brings down those that are machmir, but if there's a need, there's no need to be machmir, and then you could shower. But music is definitely brought down not to listen to music on a fast day, and that would start at night. So now there is a shot about weddings tonight. So if you started the wedding before Shkia, then you can continue in. But otherwise, no, and therefore no music as well tonight and for the next 3 weeks. Now, let's say this shot comes up a lot. Let's say you ate by accident on the fast day. You forgot it was the fast day, you ate. Should you continue your fast? Absolutely. Even if you ate, you do continue fasting. Now, if you ate a small amount, like under koseves, under date size, about 2 kazesim, something like that, whatever, if you did eat, so then but that small amount, you can say aneinu in mincha. Let's say you accidentally ate a small amount, you can continue fasting, and you even say aneinu, and you could get an aliyah. If you ate a significant amount, larger than a koseves, so then even though you have to still fast, you cannot say aneinu in mincha, and you cannot be called up for an aliyah. Now, another side comes up. Let's say you made a bracha on the food because you forgot it was a fast day. Should you eat the food? Here you have a dilemma, perhaps bracha levatala, which is worse, which is more severe. You're holding the food. You made the bracha. If you don't eat it, it's a bracha levatala. If you eat it, you're damaging, breaking your fast. So it's a big shaila, which is more severe. Bracha levatala may be the raisa. The fast day is not. What's recommended is to put the food in your mouth, taste it, and then spit it out. Because according to many, just tasting the food is enough for the bracha. Yeah, it's not considered breaking your fast if you didn't chew it and if you didn't swallow it. And therefore, that would be recommended. Put it in your mouth, get the flavor, spit it out. And just to be safe, say Baruch Shem Kavod Machosel Lilam Vled, just in case tasting is not enough for your bracha. Okay, so again, don't do it, but if you did, make the bracha, taste it, spit it out. Baruch Shem Kavod Machosel Lilam Vled. Fine. Now, when does the fast start and when does the fast end? So the fast start, Shavuot Vatama, starts at Amud HaShachar. Amud HaShachar is around 90 minutes. It's Machokas, but we go 90 minutes before Netzachama. Okay, so you check in your calendars, it'll tell you. But that's when this fast starts. Now, let's say you want to wake up early to eat before that time. So before you go to sleep, you have to make a tanai. And you could say, I'm not starting my fast now. I'm meaning I plan on waking up and eating. If you do not make that tanai, you're not allowed to eat. The fast starts when you go to sleep. So chiddush how that works, why that works. But if you do not make your tanai, and you go to sleep, your fast is starting. You can be lenient when it comes to drinking, the Ramah says, that if you did not make it tonight, and you went to sleep, and you woke up, and you wanted to eat, don't eat, but yes, drink. But it's definitely better, and what you should do is make it tonight. So everyone right now, make it tonight. That when you go to sleep, you want to wake up and eat food, because if you do wake up, you probably want to eat, and you want to be allowed to eat, so make it tonight. Now you woke up, so it's before Amud HaShachar. You are allowed to eat up until Amud HaShachar. However, you're not supposed to wash and start a suda within a half hour before Amud HaShachar. And therefore, what you would want to do is, if you want to wash, wash 31 minutes before Amud HaShachar. If you're not going to wash anyway, just going to have some mizonos or some coffee, whatever it is. So then that you can do up until Amud HaShachar. The fast ends at Tzeis HaKokadim, but here we're very lenient. Even those that are machmir by Shabbos with Rebbe Mutam, or we're machmir with later Zman, we are mako when it comes to, the fast, and therefore, in America, you take the earliest man, whatever the earliest man is, that you can make it with for fasting. So I just ask, as far as if you make it tonight that you're going to eat, you're not making a nether, it's not a promise. And therefore, if you want to oversleep, but you decide not to get up, it's not a vera. It's just, if you want to eat, you're saying, I'm not accepting the fast now. But it doesn't obligate you that you have to wake up. Okay. Now, let's say you're davening b'yechidus. So it's a fast day, you're davening b'yechidus. So you should say slichos. After Shemona Esrei, you say slichos. However, you should not say the Yud Gimel Midos, and you should not say Elokeinu v'Elokei Aloseinu before the slicha. But everything else, you can and you should say. And that. As far as smoking on a fast day, if you're allowed to smoke on a regular day, you are allowed to smoke on a fast day. It's definitely a discussion about it, but you can. And the last thing, as far as the fast day goes, what about brushing your teeth, mouthwash? How does that work on a fast day? So Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av were more machmir, which we'll discuss later, at the time. As far as the four other fasts, you can be lenient if there is some level of discomfort. So if for sure we're wearing a mask, you have to be inhaling your breath all day, or perhaps you just feel uncomfortable, you can be lenient. Just make sure you don't swallow the toothpaste or the toothbrush, or the toothbrush, that's for sure, the toothpaste or the mouthwash. Keep your mouth down, right? You want to keep your mouth down and make sure everything drops out. You can do a quick rinse with water afterwards also if you will be uncomfortable having that lingering taste in your mouth. But again, make sure your mouth is down, and that is a wrap. Okay, so those are lots of fast days. As far as 3 weeks. Okay, so the 3 weeks is broken down through separate halakhas. There's 3 weeks, 9 days, and Tisha B'Av itself. So now we'll just focus on 3 weeks. So if you are Svardi, like some of our holy brethren that are here tonight, so almost nothing applies. They can do almost everything, I think everything, actually during 3 weeks. But if you are Ashkenazi, so then there are two major issues that are applicable. One is no weddings, and two is no shaving. Now, when it comes to no weddings, so you're not allowed to have a wedding. You're not allowed to get married, but you are allowed to get engaged, and you can have an engagement party. You can have a vart. That you are allowed to do, but no music at that vart. But the actual marriage is what's a problem, but the engagement is not a problem. So that's as far as the wedding. As far as music goes, this is a spin-off of that Isser. You're not allowed to listen to music, even if it is a tape. Mazel Tov. Even if it is a tape, you're not allowed to listen to music. Let's say you need to play music for your parnasa, that's fine. If you need to learn music for your parnasa, that's fine. But if you're doing it for your enjoyment, that's not fine. And what about during exercising? Let's say you want to exercise and you like to exercise to music. You should not, unless you can. If there's no other way for you to exercise, unless you have some music going, or you're part of a class that they're playing music and they won't shut it off for you, so then it's okay. But the idea is not to enjoy it, that you should not be listening to music and enjoying the music. You're exercising and you're doing your parnasa. It's not for music.
And what how bad is it?
What?
Like, how bad is it?
Gehenom. We don't do it. No music. We don't do it. Now, as far as a cappella, so when you're driving, you should pay attention to the road. And what happens if you cannot drive safely or you'll fall asleep if you don't play music? So then probably you should be lenient. In that case, it's pikuach nefesh. But maybe you could just put on news, or the next thing, a cappella. Is a cappella okay? So a cappella is music without instruments. So the old-fashioned a cappella, where there's one funny guy sitting and singing and whistling, so that's fine. But they've created a cappella today that's so hard to tell the difference between a cappella and not a cappella. It's very hard to say that that's okay. I know it's a discussion amongst the Paiskim. I'm not getting involved who's right, who's wrong, but definitely doesn't taste good. If you're listening to music and it's officially, oh, musicless, it's a cappella, but it sounds like everything else, you're definitely defeating the purpose. You're definitely going against the intended goal of no music during 3 weeks. And therefore, same way with someone sitting Shiva for a relative, right? They probably wouldn't be like sitting in the Shiva house and like boop bopping to the a cappella. So it probably is a good idea during the 3 weeks not to be listening to the heavy duty a cappella. The lighter, the old fashioned a cappella seems to be fine. Otherwise, I wouldn't. And therefore, when driving, if you feel like you need something, so put on the old fashioned a cappella or 10-10 Winds, and that's fine. I'm as far as the corona, I don't see why it would be hetter unless someone is like, they won't be able to deal with themselves. It's pikuach nefesh that they don't have music. Fine, but otherwise I wouldn't allow it. Okay, that's as far as that. As far as washing your body, as far as washing your clothing, there's no prohibition during 3 weeks up until the 9 days. So you can wash everything you want. Now, as far as shaving goes, so we do not shave, we do not take haircuts during the 3 weeks. If you need it for your parnasa, if you have a boss or you have clients who will not like to look at you and you may lose business because you are not kempt, so that's fine. If you shaved and you realize you missed the spot or you're halfway through your haircut and then the time came, so you're half shaven and you're half unshaven or any other things that may be embarrassing, you can shave that off. As far as women goes, we're more lenient with women. If women have hair coming on the legs or other places that's uncomfortable, that's perhaps not sneezedic, so then they can shave that off during the 3 weeks. Okay, you are allowed to have meat and wine during the 3 weeks. Those prohibitions only start during the 9 days. Now, as far as trips, can you go traveling? Can you go to the beach, the separate beach? So there, it is okay. You're allowed to do anything that's not considered dangerous. But you should not be doing something that is considered dangerous. During the 3 weeks, it is a dangerous period in history. It's a dangerous time. So we don't want to put ourselves in extra risk. So no bungee jumping, perhaps no scuba diving. But regular activities, even if they are recreative, that is fine. As far as saying Shechianu, we do not say Shechianu during the 3 weeks. If you have a geshmak of fruit, save it for Shabbos, and you can make a Shechianu on Shabbos, but not during the week. As far as clothing goes, can you shop? Can you buy? Can you wear new clothing? We do not make Shechianu on most of our clothing. So the clothing that we don't make Shechianu on, you can buy them, you can wear them new. If it is such a unique, exciting suit or tie, whatever it is, that it just brings you such tremendous simcha, so that you probably should not buy and you should not wear either for the first time during the 3 weeks. Okay, those are the 3 weeks. I'll move on to Parsha now. This week's Parsha, we're all on the same page, we're caught up, it's Parsha's Pinchas. So a few short verses on Parsha's Pinchas. Last week's parasha, Pinchas killed a boy and a girl, and we were not told who they were. In this week's parasha, we're told who they were. It's very interesting how the Torah split up the storyline. So again, I don't know who divided all the parashas, but the mice of the parasha just split up. That in this week's parasha, we're told it was Cusbi and Zimri, and we're told that Pinchas gets a reward. In last week's parasha, we weren't told of Pinchas' reward. We weren't told who he killed. Why? Why did the Torah split it up? So I heard from Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, Zatzal, Mashkiach HaKavan Sashiva. He said that the Torah is going out of its way to tell you Pinchas killed Zimri and Cusbi for one reason only, because he was a Kanoi, because it angered him how Hashem's name was being disgraced. And therefore, it was irrelevant who they were. Their names were irrelevant. Their status was irrelevant. Whether they were very chashe people or not chashe people, whether he liked them or whether he hated them, completely irrelevant. So that's why we're not even told the names. The names are irrelevant. It has nothing to do with Cusbi Zimri. It was boy, girl, in public. That's why Pinchas killed them. And the reward also, he didn't do it for the reward. That was something which was an add-on Hashem gave him later. That's why the parasha just split up. Now, in this week's parasha also, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to give over the leadership role to Yeshua. Rashi brings down that Moshe had requests from Hashem that he wanted his children to take over. Aaron's children took over for Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted his children to take over for him. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, no, that's not in the plans. What's fascinating is there's the Medrash. Rashi doesn't bring the whole Medrash down, but the Medrash adds on that Moshe requested it, and Hashem sent back to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Banacha yashvu lahem velo asku b'Torah." It's the Medrash Rava per Chaf Aleph Yudalit. That Moshe Rabbeinu, your children sit, and they are not Isaac and Torah. Wow, which is fascinating. So first of all, a Yediyah, the Moshe Rabbeinu's kids are not the biggest Masmidim in the base Medrash. Okay. And therefore, they probably, Hashem was saying, they weren't worthy to take over. Whereas Yeshua never left the base Medrash. He never left Moshe's side. Yeshua was worthy. But what was Moshe thinking then? Like, Moshe didn't know that his kids weren't worthy. Moshe didn't know that his kids were Yashvu v'lo asku b'Torah. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that his kids should take over? So I heard a nice pshat that maybe, right, we're told all along how Moshe was such an anav. Perhaps Moshe thought, you know what? I'm also not worthy. I'm also a nobody. I'm also someone who perhaps should not be in leadership role. But Hashem said, no, you could do it. So then he said, you know what? I can ask for my kids too. Maybe my kids are just like me. And maybe Hashem will give them the leadership role and they'll do a fine job, just like Hashem trusted me. Maybe that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking, perhaps. But definitely what we see from over here is that it doesn't matter who your parents are. You can't just rely on the chesed of your parents. If you are not someone who is stepping up to the plate yourself, you're not going to be given the roles. And therefore, as we say with Shidduchim or anything you're doing, it's not, the yichus is not the most important. It is who you are, not where you came from. Another part in the parsha, we have, I may have mentioned this before by other shiurim, but it's worth while pointing out, at the end of Parshas Pinchas, it goes through all the Yavim Tovim. And all the Yavim Tovim, you bring a sa'ir as a carbon chatas. And by all the Yavim Tovim, it says, you bring a sa'ir l'chatas, sa'ir l'chatas. Only by one yontif does it not say sa'ir l'chatas, by Shavuos. Right? So Pesach, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, all of them it says sa'ir l'chatas, except by Shavuos. So the Das Zakenim, Bali Taisus, brings to Yerushalmi, that's Medayik from here, that on Shavuos, we're Mekabel the old Torah. If you're Mekabel the old Torah, then it's Ki'ilu lo chataschem mimechem, as if you've never done Aveira. So on Shavuos, Yom Ha'am Torah, we don't mention the word chatas. We're bringing the carbon, and there are people who need it, and it's being mechaper. But the word chatas, the Torah doesn't say, just to allude to that if you're Mekabel the old Torah, it's as if you've done no Aveiras. Now, we do not need to wait until Shavuos to be Mekabel Ol Torah. That's something you can do every day, even on a fast day, you Mekabel Ol Torah, and that is something which will make it as if you've done no Aveiras. And the last thing I'll end with is, interesting, if you look at all the Yom Tovim, in between each Yantif, there's a Samach, which is a reference to a Parsha Stuma, which means there's no space in Sefer Torah between. For example, between Pesach and Shavuos, Stuma. There's no break in the Torah. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, Stuma. Only between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah is it a Parsha Psucha. There's a Pei in the Chumash, and there's a space in the Sefer Torah between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. And I heard, this is a remez, that there will be one more Yantif added in between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, which would be in Hashem Tisha B'Av, which will turn into Kar Alay Moed. That Tisha B'Av will turn into a Yantif. So the Torah, the Merame, is to that by leaving empty space between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah. All right, I'm done. Mishnah next week, same time. I'll send the link. It'll be a Mishnah on the halachas of the 9 days. All right, have an easy fast. Have a good night. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.
You're welcome.